Blog Talk Radio.
Lord, make me a house. Make me a house of rest. Make me a house, make me a house of prayer, a house of prayer.
Lord, make me a house, make me a house of prayer. Lord, make me a house, make me
the fire on my altar never burn out. The fire on my altar never burn out. May the fire on my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Make me a house of prayer. Glory, glory, glory be. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You're worthy to be praised, Lord God. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. We give you all the honor. We give you all the praise. Hallelujah. Do unto your name, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. We give you all the praise. We give you all the honor. Hallelujah. 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 Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Once again, this is Pastor Carlos A. Ramos, Jr., and your host, The Way, The Truth, and The Life Tabernacle, here on our Sunday evening Bible mystery. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. And I hope you did your homework. I hope you studied. You looked it up. And I hope that somebody calls me today with the correct answer. Glory be to the Lord. It's been several weeks now, several Bible mysteries that we've gone through, and no one has called. But this one, if you study your scriptures carefully, you should have an answer for it. Glory be to the Lord. Particularly early in the scriptures, I gave you some scriptures to read, which gave you the answer, and I erased that because I don't want to give away the answer. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for all of you that are joining The Way, The Truth, and The Life Tabernacle on our Bible mystery this Sunday at 6 p.m. If you're calling from around the world, or if you could dial 1-772-626-3178 to reach the pastor after the program at 7. But if you want to be a participant with the Bible mystery here on Blog Talk Radio, 1-516-418-5944, and that will bring you to the program. And you look for the number sign, then you press the number 1, and if you want to speak to the host, glory be to the Lord. Otherwise, if you want to send an email, you could send an email to the church, The Way, The Truth, and Life Tabernacle. It's going to be lowercase, the abbreviation WTL for The Way, The Truth, and the Life, WTL, Tabernacle, TAVERNACLE, at gmail.com. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. And we thank the Lord that he kept us alive. Hallelujah. Thank you for the many prayers that I receive from the brethren. I miss Bible study on Friday. I miss Bible study this morning, and I miss services because I was dealing with some diabetic problems. But when I woke up this afternoon, the Lord had healed me from that and brought forth healing and helped me to continue this on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all of you that are praying, for all of you that are in the program and following. And I want to reach out to all of you who live in the other side of the world. I know it's dark over there. It's night over there. I know that some of you are being persecuted for the cause of Christ. We're going to keep you in prayer, knowing that God is greater. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's have a moment of prayer before we start our program here on Blog Talk Radio. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity that once again you have allowed it to us. So, Father God, you open this door through Blog Talk Radio so we could give out your word, Father God. Hallelujah. Lord God, we ask that you look upon those that are working behind the scenes, those brothers and sisters that are working in Blog Talk Radio. We might not hear their voice, but we know they're out there working. And we ask for that you protect their family, you protect them and give them driving mercies, oh Father God. And if someone is out there in the hearing of my voice who doesn't know you, Lord Father God, I pray that you draw them by your Holy Spirit, Father God, to study the word, to receive you as your Lord and Savior, to repent of this sin, oh Father God, so they too could make it into heaven itself. Glory be to you. And to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Father God, we repent of our sin, everything, whether we thought, deed, done or said, Father God, commission or omission sins, Father God, we ask for forgiveness. We ask that you wash us in the precious blood of the Lamb. Once again, oh Father God, so we could go forward and praise you and honor you, Father God, in the beautiful name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we worship you. We worship you in spirit and in truth, oh Father God, because we know that you are a spirit. And thank you for guidance and directing us, oh Father God, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen. So here we are, brothers and sisters, once again on Blog Talk Radio, The Way, the Truth, and the Life Tabernacle. You can reach us at 516-418-5944. If you have a question, a comment, a testimony, glory be to the Lord, or the answer to the question. The question is, which feast is known as the feast or the feast of affliction? I'm sorry for the typo. It says beast. Let me correct that right now. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Which feast is also known as the feast of affliction? Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. The Feast of Affliction. Now, we know that all the feasts has to do with Jesus, with the Lord. And we know that the feasts belong unto the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And as we follow the feast of the Lord, we understand that Jesus Christ fulfilled the first four as we know it. And the first one was the Passover. The second one was a feast of affliction. The third one was the first fruits, the waving of the Omer. And the fourth one was Pentecost. Glory be, glory be. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You're worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. And we know that there are three that remain. Hallelujah. We have the Feast of Trumpets, which for the Jewish people is the Feast of Rosh Hashanah, a Happy New Year for them. That's sometimes September 1st, but not in our September 1st Gregorian calendar, but in the Jewish calendar. Remember one thing, brothers and sisters, that Jesus Christ was born by a virgin, Mary. And they were from the tribe of David. And if you go all the way back, Jesus, hallelujah, Jewish, he's from the Jewish lineage. So everything that we have to, well, or have to look up and study and understand is that Jesus and most of the disciples were Jewish. I believe Luke was a Greek, but, you know, that has to be debated and has to be studied. But most of them were Jewish, and they proclaimed the Jewish Messiah to the world. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Jesus. So everything that we study here, everything that you study and pray, you have to understand that Jesus Christ is Jewish. There's a lot of debate out there. What color is Jesus? Well, God is a spirit. There's no color. And this is where people make the mistake. They're looking at pictures, and some say Jesus is white. Some say because of the way he's described in Revelation as a judge that Jesus is black. God is a spirit. If you read the Gospel of John, chapter 4, Jesus says that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. If what type of body did Jesus use when he was on the earth? Knowing the area, Africa, Egypt, Israel, all the countries, most of the people there were olive skin. Hallelujah. So if you want to look up any color at all, you might want to say that Jesus was olive skin. Remember, he was pressed in the Garden of Gethsemane. And that's what does Gethsemane mean? The pressing of the olives. But that's something neither here, neither there, because salvation doesn't depend on the outward color of our skin. We're not looking to save our bodies. We're looking to have our souls safe. Glory be to the Lord. So the Bible mystery for today is, which feast is also known as the Feast of Affliction? I corrected that on my end, but it hasn't been corrected on the board yet. But it will be corrected on the board. Glory be. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, there's certain things in the scriptures, as you read the scriptures, that brings attention to you, and you should be able to look it up and study it. And God will give you the revelation of a scripture. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And Sunday is a different type of program. It's not preaching and teaching. There you go. Thank you very much. So it was fixed on our board right now. Which feast is known as the Feast of Affliction? Glory be. As Sunday service message that we have here, Bible Mysteries, is not your ordinary class. We have Bible teaching on Thursday, 6 o'clock. And we have prayer on Tuesday, 6 o'clock. I don't preach or teach. I don't preach on this avenue because you should be together with other believers in the church. And the pastor or whoever's preaching that day bring forth the word. So I don't want to do that. I don't want to bring a mix. I don't want to bring a he said this and she said that. Nope. We're not going to debate the word of God. We're going to study the word of God, and we're going to let the word of God speak for itself. And as we look it up, we take it in. And if you have a question when your pastor speaks, you wait till after the service is over and you bring it to his attention. You say, and you might want to say is, Pastor, did you say? And you make it into a learning project for you. You could say, Pastor, I didn't quite understand what you said. Did you say this? And then you could refer back to the Bible and see what it says, because sometimes people take things out of context. And that's why you ask the pastor in a nice way, because maybe you miss the context of what he was teaching. On our Bible study for today, Bible mystery, is the object of it is for you to study your word during the week, and you have the you have a question. You have a question that I give unto you. Like, for instance, for next week, the question is, which feast is also known as the Feast of Weeks? So you already have your homework. Look it up, Feast of Weeks. But for this week, we're studying which feast is also known as the Feast of Affliction. And in the scriptures, in the Old Testament, the New Testament, we have a lot of hints and a lot of words that depict what it means. Let's start off first with the first one. Which feast is also known as the Feast of Affliction? Well, the first one is High Holy Sabbath Day, Nisan 15. Okay, now you might say, well, wait a minute, Brother Ramos, what is that, Nisan 15? Were you talking about High Holy? We celebrate Good Friday. And I venture to say to you, brothers and sisters, I was brought up in the Catholic Church, and at one time I did want to be a priest, but celebrating Good Friday is not a Christian feast. You don't find that nowhere in the scriptures. What you will find in the scriptures, when you follow the Jewish calendar, you have to follow the Jewish calendar. You cannot follow the Gregorian calendar. At that week, the week of Passover, if you study it carefully, there were two Sabbath days. One was a high Sabbath day and one was a regular Sabbath day. Now, we know the regular Sabbath day is sunset Friday to sunset Saturday. That's your Sabbath day. That's your seventh day. And people take on to that and they celebrate it because of whatever denomination they're in. The Jewish people celebrate it because they put themselves under the law. But we celebrate the Lord's resurrection, the first day of the week. We honor him. We glorify him. He's the Lord of the Sabbath. If you're worshiping the Sabbath above the Lord, something is wrong. Jesus Christ is the Lord of the Sabbath. That word Lord, capital L, capital O, R, D, is speaking of Adonai. And only God could be Adonai. Glory be. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So you have to look back at the Jewish calendar. And I have a copy of a Jewish calendar here for the year that Jesus, the Passion Week. I don't want to say what year. That is something you have to look up and study yourself. But in that week, there was two high holy Sabbaths. There was a high holy Sabbath day besides the regular Sabbath. There was two Sabbath days. So you have the regular Sabbath day, which is sunset Friday to sunset Saturday. That's the seventh day. But Nisan 15 comes after Nisan 14. And if you look at the Jewish calendar, that week, Nisan 14 was on a Wednesday. Nisan 15 was the sunset of that day, meaning the beginning of Thursday. Hallelujah. So Nisan 15 was a high holy Sabbath day. That was the second Sabbath of that week. Remember, Jesus came to fulfill the law, and he came to fulfill the prophets. He didn't come to do away with them. And when he died, he presented the Passover lamb on Nisan 14, according to the scriptures. He was arrested on Nisan 10, and he was held for 4 days and examined. He was crucified. if you know Nisan 14, the same time, same moment that Jesus Christ said, it is finished. It's the same time that the high priest comes out of the Holy of Holies because he offered up the sacrifice, blood. He comes out and he tells the people, it is finished. And that's what Jesus Christ did. It was finished on the 14th. But on the 15th, something happened. Something happened. They had to do something before the sun set. And I'm not going to say everything because it will give you an answer. And I want you to find the answer for yourself. If you're a Jewish person, you're going to know what comes after Nisan 14, Nisan 15. What comes after Passover? What comes after Passover? And we have it, number three, that which comes afterwards. That which comes afterwards. What comes after this Passover? What comes after the Passover? Remember the Bible says, cursed is he who hangs on a tree. What must they do? This high holy Sabbath day, which occurred on Nisan 15, was a type of Jesus' burial. Jesus was buried. He was taken off the cross on the 15th. On Nisan 15, before the sun set, he was buried. So on Nisan 15 was his burial. And he stayed there for 3 days and three nights. Like he said, as the prophet Jonah was in the belly of the beast, the Son of Man will be in the earth for 3 days and three nights. I know there's some Jewish brothers out there, because of the attack of the enemy, try to change times and feasts. And they say to the people that any part of the day is a whole day. And that's why some people celebrate Good Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's 3 days, but that's not 3 days, brothers and sisters. Jesus said he'll be in the belly of the earth for 3 nights and 3 days. And you have to follow the Jewish calendar to be able to calculate from the day he resurrected. And remember, his resurrection was early the first day of the week, before the sunrise. So before the sunrise, before the woman, Mary, and Mary Magdalene, and Mary his mother, Mary's sister came to the tomb, Jesus had already resurrected. So the event that you read in the Gospels about the angel rolling away the stone and the soldiers falling down as dead happened prior to the sunrise. Jesus didn't need no angel to roll the stone away. Hallelujah. Defeated death. Jesus defeated sin. Jesus defeated the grave. Glory be. So this high Sabbath day was a type of the burial of Jesus Christ. How do we know that? Well, if you look at the next word, it says the aphikomen. Well, the aphikomen is you take the bread and you break it. And in the Jewish custom, in their celebration, they put half of the bread back inside this canvas that they have in the middle. And half of it is hidden around in the house because it represents something. And the young kids are allowed to look and search for this second part of the bread because they need to get something out of the house. That is called the aphikomen. That which comes afterwards. Remember Jesus died on the cross. He gave himself on the cross. And what came afterwards? His burial. His burial. He was buried for 3 days and three nights. And when we read the scriptures in the book of Luke, chapter 22, verse 15 to 19, we see Jesus mentions it on the Lord's Supper with his disciples. And I'll read that to you. This is Luke chapter 22, beginning of verse 15. And he said, glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And he said, great longing, I have a desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And this verse 19 is the key for today's lesson. And he took bread. He gave thanks and broke it. You see what happens? He took the bread. He broke it. This high holy day is a type of his burial. And he celebrated this feast because it was a type of his burial and something that day the Jewish people was going to celebrate. So he gave thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Which feast is known as the Feast of Affliction? Glory be, hallelujah. Once again, this is Pastor Carlos A. Ramos Jr. of The Way, The Truth, and The Life Tabernacle, your host, here on Blog Talk Radio. You can reach us at 516-418-5944. Look for the number sign and the number one you press. If you want to participate or if you have any questions, comments, or testimonies, glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And we're looking up today which feast is also known as the Feast of Affliction. Glory be to the Lord. Some specific names. And if you went back and studied Deuteronomy, and Leviticus, you would have come up with the answer already. My Jewish brothers and sisters, they know the answer. And I want you to study because in there, it is what the scripture is telling us. He's given us the answer in the books. It's written of him. Jesus said, Blood and animals you did not receive, but you prepared a body for me. And that's what happened. And he said he came in the book. The book is written of him. He came in the volume of the book. So when you look at the book, when you look at the Torah, you're going to see Jesus Christ is there. To my Jewish brothers and sisters, when you look at and you read the first sentence in the Torah, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. It doesn't mention that in the English translation, but in the Hebrew translation is there. You know, you're going to read two letters that are together, the Aleph and the Tav. The Aleph and the Tav, the beginning and the ending. And who are they talking about there? Jesus Christ. Glory be. The Aleph and the Tav. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, boy. Thank you, Jesus. In Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 3. It says, you must eat no leavened bread with it. For 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. with it the bread of affliction. For you came out of the land of Egypt in haste. Do this, that all the days of your life you may remember the day when you came out of the land of Egypt. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And then you jump over to Deuteronomy chapter 23. It tells us once again, it says, and on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of the unleavened bread to the Lord. For 7 days you must eat bread without yeast. Hallelujah. And then we don't have this. But on the first day, you have a holy convocation. You do no heavy work in it, but you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord for 7 days. On the seventh day, the holy convocation, you shall do no heavy work in it. What is it called on that particular day? First fruits. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. But we're looking up the face of affliction. Where do we, hallelujah. Where do we find the name of that feast? Where do we find? We know that is a high holy Sabbath day on Nisan 15. That was the day Christ was taken off the cross before the sun set and was buried. So it's a type of his burial. And this feast came after the Passover. It was called the Afikomen. The Afikomen was bread. Now, what kind of bread was it? You have two types of bread. You have wheat bread, and you have barley. But in that time of the feast days, early in the spring, March or April, barley bread. So Christ took the barley bread and he broke it in half. And he made a statement saying that this was his body that was broken for his disciples, broken for us. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Afikomen. And as you know, Jesus mentioned it in Luke 22, 15 to 19, when he broke the bread. He said, do this in remembrance of me. So what feast could be called? What other feast could be called? Or the Feast of Affliction. Which feast is also known as the Feast of Affliction? You could call the Way, the Truth, and the Life Tabernacle at Blog Talk Radio, 516-418-5944. Look for the number sign and the number one. Press that to be a talk participant. Or if you have any questions, comments, or testimony, glory. If you come up with the right answer, the church will mail you out a beautiful pamphlet. It's called Symbolism in the Tabernacle. It talks about the furnishings inside the tabernacle, the patterns of worship, the Ark of the Covenant, symbolisms that point to Jesus, the sacrifice in the tabernacle, and the garments of the high priest. Glory be, glory be. That's a pamphlet that will be mailed out to you. Glory be, glory be. Come up with the correct answer. I'm not going to give the answer to today's mystery. I'll hold off on that until our next time, because if you could come up with the answer, that would be great. For next Sunday at 6 o'clock, the question is, which feast is also known as the Feast of Weeks. That's for next Sunday, my brothers and sisters. So study yourself, approve unto God, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now I know that because in the past, because of traditions or because somebody said something, you wasn't too appreciative and kind to the Jewish people. But I tell you the truth, my brothers and sisters, that unless you study the Torah and unless you study the feast days of the Lord, you're going to have a problem not understanding the scriptures, because the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. So in order to understand the New Testament, you have to dive into the Old Testament, because the Old Testament has a lot of types and shadows of things that were to come. The Sabbath day was a shadow of things to come. Shadow of Jesus Christ. He's the fulfillment of the Sabbath day. In him we have rest. Without him, you're going to struggle and have a problem with sin in your life. But when you recognize that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, it doesn't matter what church, what denomination, it doesn't matter. He's not going to, when he calls the church up, he's not going to call Pentecostals, Seventh-day Adventists. He's not going to call Baptists. He's not going to call Lutherans. He's not going to call Jehovah's Witnesses. He's not going to call Catholics. He's going to call his church, which is without spot and wrinkle. He's going to call the church that believes in what the scripture says. You know, the Bible says that part blindness have come to Israel, and it gave an opportunity for us Gentiles to be safe. So listen, don't throw away the Old Testament. Don't throw away the Torah. Don't throw away the prophets or the writings. Don't throw that away. That's part of the whole. Remember when Jesus broke the bread in two? There was two parts. When the high priest on the day of first fruits, he raises his hands up and he waves the offering. Jesus Christ, that's a type of the first fruits. But in Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came to the church, the high priest waved two breads. Hallelujah. And I believe the two bread represent the Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints. I did not say Pentecostal. I did not say Lutheran. I did not say Methodist. I didn't say no church denomination. It is the saints of God. He calls us saints. Glory be to the Lord. So we have to study, my brothers and sisters, because there's going to come a time when we're going to stand before Christ, and we cannot stand depending on our denomination. We cannot stand holding onto somebody's tail because it's not going to work. We all independently have to give an answer for what we know. Every word and deed and thought, we have to give an answer. We cannot just say, well, I did not know. Nope, it don't work that way. Just like you are driving a car and you think that you could drive a certain speed, yet the state has put out ample warning signs as to how fast you could drive. And that's because you have to make sure that it's safe to drive that speed. If you drive much faster, the officer will stop you and give you a ticket, deservedly so, but you violate the law. And so is when we go before God. the one question that God Almighty would ask would be, what have you done with my son? You know, that's what I used to always say. But reading more carefully the scriptures, it is Jesus Christ himself who's going to sit on the great white throne. So I believe the question that Jesus would ask is, what have you done with the information that has been taught, preached, given out in tracts about me? You know, a lot of people will come up with all sorts of answers, all sorts of answers to the Lord. But what happens is, when the Lord looks into the book of life, your name is not written down. And he said it, that whoever's name is not found in the Lamb's book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. That's because they didn't want to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They had other reasons why not to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They depended on other people for answers to the religion question. Then, you know, they wanted to do their own thing. They were, and most importantly, they were deceived by the enemy. If you look at the Torah, which is the Jewish five books of the Bible, plus the writings, plus the prophets, you will see that they all point towards Jesus Christ. He's the true Messiah. Not the Messiah that they have now parading over there in Jerusalem. He was born in Spain. He's a Sephardic Jew. The true Messiah was supposed to be born in Bethlehem from a virgin, from the tribe of Judah, from the family of David. Live a sinless life, yet gave sight to the blind, gave hearing to the deaf, raise the dead, heal the sick. What are we going to do, my brothers and sisters? What are we going to do on that day? And it could happen any moment. We as Christians have an imminent expectation of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot get ready. We must be ready. Because at any second now, it will call us home. And we have to be ready for that day. Oh, yeah, there's a lot of scoffers out there who talk about Jesus, that so many years they heard about his coming and he hasn't come yet. But guess what? It's because God loves them. His patience causes him to wait. He doesn't wish that any should perish, but they should all come to repentance and to the knowledge of the truth. God doesn't send no one to the lake of fire or to hell. He just accommodates their desires. God wishes for all of us to be saved, to go into heaven. As a matter of fact, when you read in the book of Acts, I believe in chapter 17, God commanded everyone everywhere to repent. Who is this that commands us to repent, you might say? Well, God Almighty, the one who's the wrath upon this earth. And he doesn't want you to be lost. He doesn't want you to be turned away. He doesn't want you to live outside of his grace. He doesn't want you to depart from his mercy. He loves you very much. Hallelujah. He loves you very much. And he doesn't wish for you to perish. He wants for you to prosper in him. And the way you prosper in him. And, you know, a lot of people take that scripture out of context. And they're talking about prosper because, you know, they say, oh, it's about money. No. It's not about the money, my brothers and sisters. not about the money. Let me read to you a little essay that I picked up on, and it says, Christianity in Africa. It has been said that Christianity is a white man's religion. Let's take a journey and discover the history of Christianity in Africa. We will discover that the people of the land had to battle a long misinterpreted scripture which imprisoned them to a culture of slavery. We will also discover that God moved upon certain men to tell the truth and spread Christianity throughout Africa and beyond. Finally, we discovered that many people from America has traveled to Africa and continue the legacy that once was laid down a long time ago. In Genesis 9:25, and he, talking about Noah, said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. People misinterpret scripture and took it to mean that the descendants of a colored people were a cursed race. As we read in this Bible, we are God's creation. In Psalms 139, it says, For you form my inward parts, you cover me in my mother's womb, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. We know the Bible that not all people of Africa were slaves. Ham saw his father's nakedness, and Noah cursed Canaan. Therefore, the Canaanites were cursed. Origen was a Christian theologian, and besides his belief in Jesus, he also believed in the free will of man being essence of humanity and the cornerstone of Christianity. Athenaeus left a legacy in that his efforts to defend the divinity of the Son and the Holy Spirit against those whose theological reflections thought this was ridiculous. Tertullian was called the father of the Latin Christianity and founder of the Western belief. He started new theological concepts and development of early church doctrine. Augustine was also known as a theologian of his time. He is one of the Latin fathers of the church and considered a doctor. He pioneered the belief that the human being is compound of body and soul. The soul conceived as both the life-giving elements and the center of consciousness, perception, and thought. All this before the gospel was preached to Europe. The question is asked of all, is Christianity a white man's religion? As we have seen, men of Africa were the first to share the good news to the known world. We read how the evangelist Philip revealed the good news to the known world. We read how Philip revealed to the Ethiopian treasury that what he was reading was about Jesus. We do not know what happened to the treasure, except he was of the kingdom of Candace in Sudan, as known as Kush. We became aware how Paul had a breakthrough in Europe and preached the gospel, even in Rome, leading up to his execution. But the good news spread throughout Europe, later coming to America. With the settlement of the pilgrims and the spreading of the gospel, America received many blessings from God. In turn, America is known as a city on a hill. America has envoyed several Christian representatives throughout Europe and the third world country. God moved upon certain people to continue the legacy. These ministers have made an impact upon the people of Africa. They have spoken with power and demonstration of the Spirit of God. Africa is on fire spreading the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a third world country, Africa is leading the way in telling others about Jesus. God loves America. That was a short essay about our founding fathers and about the spread of Christianity. And we, it's our Christianity throughout the world. One person at a time. You don't have to preach to 1,000, 100, 10, 20, 30. Talk to one person at a time. That's a word in itself. Think about it. If he's a man or a woman, think about the many generations that he's carrying. Think about the many generations she's carrying. And it's going to be affected to them. So the Lord loves you very much. So no one has called in what, which feast is also known as the Feast of Affliction. That'll be for another day. If you send me an email with the answer, the church will still mail you out the free gift. We'll be back on Tuesday for prayer at 6 o'clock and Thursday for Bible study for 6 o'clock and next Sunday for Bible mystery again at 6 o'clock. And until then, may the Lord richly bless you. Amen and amen.